The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Handing out some offseason grades for the Atlanta Falcons wide receivers as well as quarterback. So when you look at Drake London, for example, you could start with him. Not sure what you guys are going to grade him out as, but him and Michael Penix able to be on the same page just in his three starts that Penix had this season.
So. Yeah, and he was on the same page with Kirk Cousins, until kind of whatever happened.
So Kirk Cousins lost the book.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know what to call it anymore. I keep hearing people try to talk about
things
it.
Things went off the rails.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to put it.
And it was a weird off the rails, as we talked about yesterday, where it was, I don't have it for two games. Oh, maybe I have it again. Oh, no, you know what? It's way gone. Drake London as a solo, he is an A for me. He had a career year. This guy came in the season, into the season in his career, he had six touchdowns. He had nine this year. He had career games. Like last week, he had 187 yards on 10 catches, caught 100 passes, career high. I don't know how. I mean, he's got 241 catches for his career. Tiff, he had 100 of those this year.
So you guys went to training camp, and didn't you get to talk to him? Was he one of the guys?
We did get to talk to Drake.
Did he give any insight into what he was focusing on this season to try to improve?
Well. Do you remember if he said anything in particular? Because I remember asking, that was like I had like two questions all training camp. I was like, I got to ask. Well, I mean, every guy had the same two questions, right? I asked, would you wear a Guardian cap? Which everyone.
Resoundingly no.
Including Drake.
Literally laughed.
Drake actually had the best answer.
He
was like, no, this is a generation that gets called soft as NFL players. I'm not adding to that. I'm not wearing it. I was like,
that's
okay.
That's strong.
And I said, hey. I was like, is there something you're working on? And he didn't really, I don't remember him saying anything in particular, but he did say this. He did say that an underrated part of his game was his fast twitchness and his ability to move in space. And you saw, and that's why I went here, because you asked that, because there's something that all the people want to come to me about Zach Robinson is or isn't. One thing he saw about Drake, and you've mentioned this multiple times, Mike, is he put Drake in different positions, including in that slot, and let him work out of that, and let Drake's route-running ability, which he's a lot better of a route runner than people give him credit for, really come to fruition.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what his answer was, Tiff, to that question, but I want to say it was something along the lines of creating more explosives. Because I think that, and we asked him about who was the fastest wide receiver or who was the fastest on the team or whatever it is, and he was like, it's definitely not me. He's like, I don't ever try to hide behind that and act like I'm fast. He was like, that's, Darnell or one of these other guys. I'm with you. I think Drake London gets an A, because I think that what he's asked to do in this offense, he was exceptional at. I think that, you look at Drake and we talk about the targets, the receptions he had. I think you would probably like in the end to create a little bit more space between him and the defender. And we mentioned over the last couple of days the tight coverage rate, but he also has like one of the better catch radiuses, in the NFL when it comes to tight coverage. And so he was really good at that. But just Drake London individually, if you want to focus on that, I think he definitely deserves an A for the season that he had, because he's catching this, he's a 1,000-yard receiver, but he's catching the tough balls across the middle. And he's not the go route guy on the outside getting 1,000 yards.
Well, and you look at his stats comparatively speaking with other receivers in the league, wide receivers, just receivers in general, because, Brock Bowers jumps in here. He's fourth in yards at 1,271 yards. He's ninth in receptions. So this is a guy who was picked eighth, and he's turned into a top 10 receiver. And, the stat everybody wants to pull is, what about touchdowns? Okay, ninth. He's tied for ninth with 9 touchdowns. So, you know,
that's got to be that's a career high for him, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, he came. Yeah, dude, he came into the season with 6 touchdowns
for his career.
For his career,
yeah.
In 2 seasons.
I remember talking about that after the Philly game when he scored the game winner. It's like, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So he was completely unlocked by better quarterback play and an offensive coordinator who. And I don't even think you can – I don't think it's fair to say he was the focus of the offense in the passing game because he was used early in the season almost as the tight end. He was making those contested catches over the middle, getting, you know, that 8 – you need 7 yards, Drake catches it for 9, right? I mean, that's kind of the – I felt like his role was early in the season, and he grew and grew and grew in it.
Moving on to Darnell Mooney, a guy that Kirk Cousins did want to come here, right? Because he was on the practice squad, I believe, up in the Minnesota Vikings. So at least had some sort of relationship or experience with him. He finished the season with 992 yards, just 5 touchdowns, and only 64 receptions. But again, another guy here that, you know, maybe you'll see in the future with along with Drake London. And then Michael Penix being able to maybe unlock some more guys.
I don't think, and covered this a little bit yesterday, but I've dove even deeper into kind of what Darnell Mooney was. And to me, this is the biggest offseason addition. All apologies to week 1 through 6, Kirk Cousins. This was the biggest offseason addition. And we can talk about Drake and the reason that Drake has an A on his report card for his season is Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney allowed Drake to slide in to the power slot role that Drake London provided for this team and allow him to be that guy that runs the slants and goes across the middle and has those tough contested catches on the deep crossing routes and things like that. Darnell Mooney brought a speed aspect and an over-the-top aspect this team just has not had in years. He's the fastest offensive player that I can remember them having in years since Julio. Right, I mean, it just is what it is. So Darnell Mooney being inserted into this, it's tough because I do feel like there are some connections down the stretch that I wish that Darnell and Michael Penix could have had, and even going back to Kirk Cousins' rough stretch. So it's hard to give Darnell anything other than an A because when I look at it, I think Darnell's doing everything to the best of his ability, but it doesn't always mean the outcome was the greatest outcome. So if I'm giving Drake London an A, I'm probably slotting Darnell Mooney somewhere around an A-, but still an extremely profitable year considering what you gave up for Darnell Mooney and just how he changed the dynamic of everything you were trying to get accomplished offensively.
Yeah, he had a 1,000-yard season once in his career, and it was, if I'm not mistaken, his second year. And so you go, and that was the conversation when they signed him. Yeah, this guy hasn't been very good. He's been injured the last couple years, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he doesn't have a career high in catches. He had his second highest catch total, his second highest yards total, the best average reception he's had in his career, the most touchdowns he's had in his career. And does he not get in? You know, he played banged up a lot of the season. This guy missed one game all year, and it happened to be last week against the Panthers, or Sunday against the Panthers. I don't know how you don't give him an A. He would have been a 1,000-yard receiver. He had 992 yards. Like you went from an offense that I don't did you throw for 3,000 yards or even 4,000? I'll say what, over maybe 3,500 yards as a team in 2023, and now you go do this. I don't know how Darnell Mooney doesn't get an A. The receivers weren't the problem on this team this year.
That's the thing, and I think when you're grading these guys, you kind of have to keep that in mind because it's like, are you grading what the passing game was, or are you grading the individual player getting the most out of themselves? Right? Are you grading Drake London against the rest of the receivers in the NFL, or are you grading Drake London off of past Drake London? And I think that's the conversation that everybody has to have individually when you're giving grades. But Darnell Mooney's right there. I mean, everything he was doing was exceptional this year. And I'm glad we're starting off with wide receivers because they're the easiest ones to grade, in my opinion. Like, they're by far the easiest ones to grade on the team because you look at them and they were exceptional for the vast majority of the season.
Very positive.
And we can come back to wide receivers if we run out of time here because we're going to hit quarterbacks at the top of the hour. But I do want to give you a chance to give some thoughts on Kadarryl Hodge here. So Falcons had two people that earned the right to the Pro Bowl, and that was the right guard, Chris Lindstrom, and Kadarryl Hodge. For the first time, he is receiving that honor. So obviously it goes without saying.
Yeah, as a wide receiver, he gets an average grade, whatever an average grade would be. As a player, he gets an A because as a special teams player, he had two blocks in one game. Dude was off the rails phenomenal in the special teams. He also made the play on the fake punt that Tampa tried. He's the one that came down and made that block. He won a game for you against Tampa the other at home. So he, as a player overall, he gets an A from me. As a receiver, though, I give him an average grade.
You can just tell he's that guy. And we had a couple of these guys. We had Eric Weems, Anton Smith. Like, he was that guy you leaned into as far as being a special teams ace and a guy you knew you could count on offensively when their number was put at the bat. And you mentioned he's average grade, middle of the road. Again, it goes back to what is Kadarryl Hodge being asked to do? What's the lid on what Kadarryl Hodge is? And what role was he put in? So I'm having a hard time giving him anything other than A because it seemed like, and this last week was a prime example, when he's put up to bat, he's making exceptional plays.
We'll touch on Ray-Ray McCloud and the quarterbacks at the top of the hour.